Hi, how are you guys doing? I'm from the CBS Radio. Very nice to meet you guys. We're here for the Super Bowl this week. The big game. Would you mind if for just a moment I could talk to you guys about Minnesota and the Super Bowl? Excellent, excellent. What brings you here to the Mall of America this morning?
We're mall walkers.
Excellent. So this is a pretty big mall to do some mall walking, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful
great.
Place.
Which is great. What do you guys think about the Super Bowl being in town?
Wonderful.
It's a lot of excitement.
I wish we could have been in it.
But do you guys know who Boomer Esiason is? Chance, do you know Boomer Esiason? Famous quarterback?
Yes.
Have you guys seen him before? He's right over here. Would you like to meet him?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. He does the radio show. He's kind of fallen out of shape a little bit in his older age, but he's right over here. He's doing a commercial right here.
I'm telling you this. Go into Mattress Firm.
That's Boomer Esiason right over here.
He has changed.
He is part of the CBS Radio Network with us. And Boomer, could you come here?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, this is Boomer Esiason.
Hi. It's a pleasure to meet you. What's your name?
Bye.
I'm Bertie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I have played in the Super Bowl.
You
want
to play this year?
Oh, I'm too old for that.
But,
I was close to an MVP, but then it all crashed around me. It took a while to get over, but here I am. I'm doing media and trying to get my life back together.
Well, you have changed considerably.
Yeah, I wear glasses now.
Thank you guys so much. Hey, and thanks for being so welcoming to our town. Boomer, you have commercials you need to do.
Everybody, good morning. Bad jokes already. 5:03 local time. Smile on the kid.
No one said fat jokes. It's they're not Boomer. You know, you're none of us are Boomer. He is a very well put together man.
Boomer's putting on some weight. He is a little bit. I look at every inch of these guys.
It's not hanging over, but it's enlarged a little.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a look at these guys. So we again are here thanks to Plymouth Rock Assurance. This hour of the show is brought to you by ACP Facility Services, and we are here at the Mall of America. And in all of its wisdom. Yesterday, you know, you get off the air, you're starving, and not a lot of people eat at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, Rich Wallach and I went on a mission to find something that was open at 9 o'clock. And this mall, obviously, I don't have to tell you, is huge. There is a small amusement park in it. There's indoor go-kart racing. There's these, like, huge movie theaters. There's 75 lid stores, and we walk through this mall so much trying to find a place that we finally ate at 11 o'clock in the morning, and Rich went to get a haircut, and Wallach just wanted to sit down, so I wanted to go to this particular store, and it became like 2001, The Space Odyssey, when he's just walking around that circle.
Right.
It's like a casino. Like, it lulls you into this, and then there, everywhere you go, there's these animated listing systems.
The directories.
Directories.
Yeah, yeah.
Of how to get places. But then everything looks exactly the same. So you have to keep visiting these directories and figuring out where you're going. And it becomes almost nightmarish.
Yeah. Okay. So Fred is not exaggerating. Well, I mean, slightly, but... There is no empty space in this mall. Like, every storefront, there's not, like, the place where you go to that mall that kind of used to be in business where there's the one with the gate in front of it.
Yeah, throw out every mall in Massachusetts.
Right. Pretty much.
This is 15 times the size, and there is not... I mean, there's businesses that could not exist anywhere else on the planet that are in here.
So it's almost like what they do to fill those spots is they go to stores that are already here and say, how would you like 6 more of your store? And Fred's not joking. We saw at least 4 lids. The hat place. There's at least 4 of them here.
And you know how trippy when you're looking for something?
It's like, are we in front of the same lids?
Right. Yeah,
am I going in a circle? But I know I've been walking straight.
It's like it's by lids.
Right.
You're like, okay, well, can you tell me which one of the dozen lids that it's by?
Well, here's where doing the whole Mall of America experience and the Super Bowl being here and all of the teams playing it, here's where it actually gets surreal. Because I heard about this from a couple people yesterday, including one of our engineers. So the players from the Patriots and the Eagles,
This is where they eat. So yesterday, I guess, Rob Gronkowski and Devin McCourty and a couple other guys from the Patriots are, like, just going to the food court here. And you have to understand, like, yeah. people are here for the Super Bowl, so they know who these guys are, and they're, you know, keeping their eyes open for all the different celebrities coming. So I guess they got mobbed yesterday. Apparently, James White and a couple other people were in line for the Shake Shack behind us. I mean, just all week long, there ain't a lot of places to go, because outside of the Mall of America, we learned this kind of the hard way. So you have this mall, and attached to it are the two hotels where the players are staying. You can't, like, cross the street and go to a restaurant. There ain't nothing within blocks around here of places to eat. It's all here in the mall.
By design.
Yeah.
By sure. design, it's by yeah. itself.
So who knows? Maybe you're going to see Bill Belichick over at the Cheesecake Factory.
Maybe he'll wear that cute fedora he had on last night.
Well, it's his dad's fedora. And then,
sentimental.
I mean, it's you are going to see, if you are coming here for the Super Bowl, like random-ass players hanging out over at the Cinnabon. It's going to happen because it happened all day yesterday.
That, they might slow that down, to be honest with you. There might be an edict coming out saying...
After they got mobbed the first day or so, I mean...
Well, yeah, and that's nothing compared to what's going to be happening in, like, starting probably tomorrow, when people, a few people start trickling in, certainly by Friday.
Yeah, when do you think that, when do you think most people are coming in? If not Friday, I mean, I don't think Wednesday is a big travel day. It's
no.
not like you go to Minneapolis, look, and you plan to do a ton of stuff before you actually get to the game.
All anyone needs to do is check the weather forecast. No one's showing up here any days before they have
yeah,
to.
Today apparently is the most tropical of them all, and then it just drops into a hellhole.
It wasn't that bad.
It's -1 right now. That's without the wind chill. It feels like -9. I mean, it sucked outside this way. It was really bad. Thursday is a high of 9 and a low of -9. And Super Bowl Sunday is the coldest. That is a high of 4 and a low of -19. And that's without wind chill. That's straight up -19 for Sunday. Man. So if you're coming on up, get your long johns.
But it's indoors, so there's not a whole lot to worry about. Yesterday was media day. We went out there. There was not the pomp and circumstance that normally surrounds media day. There was not a lot of the chicanery. There was no, like, Miss Brazil that was out there, but...
Yeah, I saw Nancy Kerrigan. That's about as crazy as it got. Nancy Kerrigan hasn't really aged much, but that was about it. I mean, usually you see... Oh, and J.B. Smoove's always walking around, too.
Yeah, but what room does J.B. Smoove play if he comes to town?
You mean, like, what, comedy club?
Yeah.
Probably the one that's upstairs.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Right across from Dick's Last Resort. Yeah. there's a comedy club here, too. So, yeah. So
no, I know, but if he's in Boston, I mean, J.B. Smoove, you know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm, but it's not exactly, oh, my God, J.B. Smoove, I got to get his autograph.
Yeah, but it's like water in a desert, man. If there was, like, well, even half of a celebrity yesterday, people were getting their pictures with him.
That's
and
kind of
him.
My point, is when J.B. Smoove... is the guy that people are fawning over.
Well, last year it was the dude from Good Burger who didn't go on to do something successful.
Well, then your kids don't watch TV because that kid is Triple G on Game Shakers, I'll have you know.
That is in a language I don't understand.
Well,
I don't.
Your kids aren't cultured because they're not watching the Disney Channel 24 hours a day.
I guess not.
But Rich was able to get some audio. He was able to talk to some people. He actually found James Harrison, who I looked for about a half an hour and couldn't find.
He's, as I said, the one player that I'm legitimately intimidated by, who somewhat scares me, and that's James Harrison. And the interview was everything I thought it'd be.
Yeah. Rich and I talked to Jonathan Kraft. It was the first time I'd ever met him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nice fella.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was my big thing. I got nothing on tape.
Well, we got to go to we went down to see where Purple Rain was filmed.
Yeah, we did. We went to made the guys go to First Avenue and the 7th Street entry with me. Unfortunately, you couldn't get into either of them.
No. There was one unfortunate moment though when we went out to eat beforehand. There was this restaurant that is known for shoving cheese inside of their burgers, and it's like supposedly this super like hot cheese, and you know they bake it inside of it. And so I got my burger, and I took a bite, and this giant stream of, like, piping hot
burn your flesh cheese shot out and shot all over Wallach, who's sitting to my right.
Like, he said it was cheese.
That's right. I was very excited about my burger.
Man.
That's right. And I've got, an infection.
Yeah, he said he experienced the juicy Lucy. That
yes. I guess so.
Everyone is all up in arms about. All right, a big show on the way today. We have all that audio coming up from Media Day. Plus, Rich, we have, what are we going to talk about in last night?
Well, let's talk about the Celtics pulling one off at the last minute. Also, we will get to a little bit of that Media Day. There was indeed some Patriots news that was broke yesterday, and so much more.
All right. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Commonwealth Insurance Partners.
Live from Minneapolis on Radio Row.
Wake up.
Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance, on the home of the game, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. We are at Media Row in the food court of Mall of America. And, Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, after being as cold as it gets all evening long, Jaylen Brown finally hits one that mattered. Clip!
Kyrie will get a little ahead of steam. Into the front court. Bonded by Harris. Goes to Horford, left side. Horford, right-hand dribble around Jokic. Kick to the corner. Jaylen Brown open. Gets the three. It circled the rim. Kissed off the window. Fell right back down the middle. You said Jaylen Brown's been quiet tonight. Not when it mattered most.
Well, you get a wake-up call. Nice play by Jaylen. This time, better play by Horford.
Yeah, he was three. What's that?
What's up with the analysis? And not just yelling out cheeseburger.
No sandwiches.
I know.
Yeah, what's up with actually describing what happened on the court?
He was actually invested in that play. Well, he was 3 for 10 for the night and 0 for 4 on three-pointers. But when the game was on the line, Jaylen Brown hit the game-winning shot. And the Celtics end their road trip on a high note, 111-110, the final score. And it wasn't just Brown hitting a dry spell. They gave up during that third quarter 37 points, which is more than they've given up in any other quarter the entire season. And that shot right there was the last bucket for the Celtics in the last 2 minutes and 12 seconds of the game. They went cold.
And then after he hit that basket, which was a little over 30 seconds left, they survived the last 5 seconds.
Well, we will get to that. One other thing, too, is that Kyrie Irving is, we know that he's ridiculous, and he makes shots that shouldn't go in. There was one that he let off that ended up not counting because he released the ball when the shot clock was at zero. But he had a defender, and I forget which guy it was, a defender whose hand might have been, like, with the jump, 2.5 feet over his head directly in front of him, and he somehow was able to launch it over him. It hit the very top of the backboard and dropped in. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy is an absolute wizard when it comes to making difficult shots. He practices them, but it was also...
And he's destroying every kid's game.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Well, no, Steph Curry did it first, but yes,
no,
same thing.
No, every kid now dribble drives into the paint, and instead of just going right up for a layup, fades away and takes those weird hook shots.
Yeah, and he makes them. That's the thing.
Well, there's far more responsibility than just making a basket in the
spoken
NBA.
Spoken like a true coach.
What
right
about the
there?
Children?
I mean, I say you're not Kyrie Irving, and I try to belittle them, and then they don't listen to me.
The 9-year-olds don't listen to you for a half an hour?
Half an hour.
An hour? It's an hour, right?
Yeah, but then you just make them run into push-ups.
Okay. It was also a night where they blew a 20-point first-half lead, and the Nuggets were this close to making them pay with a last-second attempt to win it all. Clip.
Rebound Denver. They're not calling a timeout. 2 seconds to go. Barton across half-court launches a three for the win. It's tapped in, but it came too late. It was laid in at the cup after the buzzer. A crazy game that had to have a crazy finish. And the Boston Celtics have survived the final game of the road trip.
I still don't know why the hell they didn't call a timeout there. Well, either way, the shot gets waved off. No good. Celtics win. Here's Kyrie afterwards on what he thought about Jaylen's game-winning shot. Clip.
He better take that. He better take that. I mean, that's a wide-open three in the corner. Brought to you by Al Horford, coming off and driving and attacking the defense. I mean, he's got to shoot that. It, 3 for 10, 3 for freaking 30. I don't care, man. We got the same confidence as everybody else, and we just got to have that same mindset.
For everyone who loves Al Horford, for the stats, here's one I saw last night. He is by far leading the East in 3-point assist percentage.
No.
They saw that up there like, whoa. And I could just hear all the stat.
That's one that even I wouldn't have looked up.
So if you weren't
preparing, in preparing for a game, I'm like, yeah, Al Horford is one of the two best passing centers in the league. Oh. He has more assists than every other, except I guess Jokic, I think, is the other one for Denver. I wouldn't have looked that up. Oh, yeah. Not a chance.
Definitely deserved to be an
offensive
all-star
over rating.
Drummond. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, those are the kinds of numbers. He does things that you can't see on a score sheet, my friends.
Well, listen, you can see it on Wallach's stat sheets over there.
No, Wallach doesn't have that stat.
Well, didn't have it. I outstatted you.
You did. I never would have looked that up.
Brad.
Wouldn't even thought about looking that up.
Well,
that's impressive.
It's because you're inferior at your job. You need to step up your stat game. Glasses.
Just like you.
Well, hey, listen.
Right. I should be the one wearing the dork glasses
right.
in the show.
Yeah. No wonder you're never going to sniff that Celtics gig.
So, yeah, Grandy would. Listen, Grandy started the show with that stat. Brad Stevens, for one.
What a useless stat.
No, he didn't. That's what Grandy would have left in the pile.
I could kick the ball out to a 3-point shoot. I mean, like, what
you
stat
think
is
you
that?
Could.
If I have the ball in my hands, the easiest pass I can make is out past the arc.
You see, it's awareness. Awareness of everything that's going on.
What you need is 3-point assisted field goal percentage from the paint. Then you would have
a
stat,
because then I would have to hustle.
That's
I would
have
to avoid
post
my defender.
Up or drive the lane and kick.
Granny's looking up that stat right
that's
now.
That's right. I'm sure it's there. Well.
No, yeah, but, I mean, kicking out, if I have my offense spread around the 3-point line, that's an easy pass. I call BS on that.
But you draw the defense in, Fred. You draw the defense
in.
Fine,
then I put
the
ball
open.
Over my head and I throw him the ball.
Yes. Not many centers can do that. That's why Al Horford is an all-star.
So you're saying he's driving through the lane.
Well, he did last night.
Three guys came on him.
Three guys closed on him.
Okay, so it threw a trip.
High post, Fred. Guys collapse. They double down. You kick it out. It's a savvy,
on a high
savvy
post?
Veteran move. No, low post. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say on the high post. No. Would he hand him the ball?
Low post, yeah. Savvy veteran move to find an open Jalen Brown.
Imagine in this
era. Why he's better than Andre Drummond.
Yeah, those stats you don't see, unlike the 50 rebounds a game that Drummond gives you. But
only at the TD Garden.
Yes. But
no, if you look, it's pretty much everywhere now.
Yeah, that is... So he picks up a triple team, which means two guys are wide open.
Yeah, and he found one. The guy made the shot. Nice job. You move on.
Well,
pat
listen,
on the back for Al Horford.
Listen, they got a 3-pointer out of it. I don't know why Al Horford is at all in that discussion.
Because he does the little things, Fred.
Yeah, the
he
little
does
things.
The little things.
The little things.
Don't show up on his stat sheet.
Like he gets in the game and wipes his face with a towel.
As Rasheed Wallace's nerdy cousin said, stats don't lie. All right. Brad Stevens, by the way, he was glad that his guys were able to escape Denver with a W. Here you go, clip.
The biggest moment of the game was when they went up 6 and we answered Shemmy's 3 in the corner, gave us some life, and then Tice hit one soon thereafter, and we just kind of found a way. Again, I thought we didn't look spry in the second half, and in the first we were moving it, but we were also making shots.
By the way, Daniel Tice has been all right. He might be outplaying Aaron Baines as of late. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time. Well, tomorrow night, the Celtics return to the TD Garden to take on Kristaps Porzingis and his Knicks.
What's up with him recently? All I see from Porzingis is people making fun of him.
Why? I think he's been fine.
I don't know why. I don't read the articles.
Is he the only all-star on a losing team?
Yeah.
I think he's like the only all-star whose team is not in the winning column, but either way. They take on the Knicks. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, yesterday down at the Excel Center in whatever that town is that's not Minneapolis, St. Paul.
St. Paul,
yeah, yeah. Right. The Patriots participated in their third Super Bowl Media Day in the last 4 years. And one guy that was truly missed was Rob Gronkowski. It was a mere 2 years ago that we handed him a copy of A Gronking to Remember, and he read aloud to us the chapter about his fictional self spiking a ball right between a woman's butt cheeks. But unfortunately, with Gronk in concussion protocol, that meant no podium for him and a massive lack of the Gronkowski factor at media night.
Again, there were like stadium seating for Brady. They on purpose put Belichick next to Brady.
Well, so, he was not next to Brady.
He wasn't?
No. They had to put
Andrews.
David Andrews, yeah. Which was essentially the waiting room for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They knew that the crowd was going to be so big that they picked David Andrews because they knew that he probably wouldn't have much of a crowd at all, so it would seep into him. So half the people, I'm sorry, all of the people in front of David Andrews weren't there for him.
Yeah.
They were there for Brady.
Okay, fair enough.
Matter of fact, there was a guy, and I don't mean to cut you off, but there was a guy, it was so kind of blatantly disrespectful, who had a camera, a video camera, in front of David Andrews, and it was angled
pointing
to the
other
right.
Way, yeah.
Like, it was right in front of him. It was angled to the right to get a long shot of Brady.
Yeah, and I was like, at one point, I'm like, I'll just screw with Slater, and there were, like, people in front of Slater, and I'm like...
And they had their angles, cameras angled left.
Exactly.
Because he was on the other side of Brady.
And exactly. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
There was one star at Media Day last night. I'm talking for the Eagles and for the Patriots, and it was Tom Brady. Tom Brady had a giant, massive humans. And even Bill Belichick, very accessible. Not many cameras there. And then when the Eagles showed up, Nick Foles... I mean, maybe he had like 5-6 cameras in front of him, and by the time like 30 minutes were done, you could easily walk up and talk to the guy. It was just, it was weird, man. And I know that there's the talk of the lack of star power now that like Carson Wentz has got, like no one wanted to. They had two coordinators at podiums,
including your buddy Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, like Jim. Who cares about Jim Schwartz? I mean, listen, it's nice if you're like. You know, are somebody who writes for like does the beat for the Eagles, but if you're like extra or you're like a station from Dallas or whatever who's here, why do you care about Jim Schwartz? Why do you want to talk to him?
Out of the 50, out of the 5,000 media members who were there, 4,980 people didn't care.
There's no way there was 5,000 media members there.
But I'm just making a point. Everyone except for maybe 20 people in the room. You know, didn't care about Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, it was weird. It was the one year, and I don't know if it's just because Gronk wasn't there, but it was like there weren't even like the goofy people walking around.
Because the NFL did it again, is that they had to make it some television spectacle that's on at night instead of during the day.
Yeah,
when people went out there, and it's and you know what we Walk and I heard a bunch of people that were not in media bitching about the whole experience because you sit in the stands. With some ghetto-ass radio in your ear,
and you
can't see anything.
Yeah, it was very odd last night. It was very dark. It was a different vibe than all the other ones in the past. And like when they came out on stage, each team they introduced each team, it was really odd and awkward. Like I remember a couple of years ago when the Patriots came out and the Seahawks, like everyone's like, you know, like waving to the crowd and there's like the music and they're kind of pumping their fists and everyone's like, you know, they look really excited to be there. Last night, neither team really looked into it. It was odd.
It's funny you say that because the Patriots came out on stage and there's this big dramatic announcement over the public address system and they're all just kind of standing there and it's weird because no one raised their arm. They were all just kind of standing there looking at the people. People were looking back at them with music playing and after about 10 seconds of staring each other down, there were a couple of fireworks they shot off over their heads, and then everyone just kind of went to their own booth or place on the floor.
Well, we will get to some of the back and forth that happened yesterday at Media Day, there was also the crowd was pretty interesting when the Philadelphia Eagles showed up. There was a strange phenomenon that is going on in town when it comes to their hatred of Nick Foles, which I find extremely funny. But we will get to that and so much more about Media Day.
All right, here are the headlines.
Listen on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Using the simple tools of radio.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, unfortunately, with Gronk in concussion protocol, that meant no podium for him. And as I was saying, he was definitely missed. Another guy also missing was Malcolm Butler. Who was being treated, or was treated, rather, on Sunday at the hospital for flu-like symptoms. Apparently, he's expected to be okay.
How much would that rule if, like, every time you got sick, like, just like, with the flu, they took you to the hospital and just, like, IV'd you up?
And just nuked you?
Yeah, because there's a whole other level. Like, they could do that for everyone. But they choose to do it for football players.
So most of us just get sick and have to spend the day in bed. You get
a
sick.
Day.
A day or two or three. But just, you know what? You're sick. No, you're valuable. Let's take you to the hospital and get A1 treatment immediately.
My point is the technology exists to obviously get someone into the hospital and cure them of illness much faster than they would be if they were just a civilian.
Well, I kind of lucked out because apparently, I just discovered this about a year ago, but I live right down the road from an emergency room, which I had never used before, but online you can actually book a time. Have you ever done this before? Like, you, usually the one thing that's the worst about going to the emergency room is you got to sit there and wait, and everyone's coughing on your sick. But now hospitals, a lot of them have it to where you just, like, pick the earliest time, and you show up at that time, and you essentially walk right in.
But you're not getting Malcolm Butler treatment. Malcolm Butler probably has someone with him 24 hours a day.
Ready to just stick him and
yeah, shooting him with rich guy juice that goes into your veins and cures you right away.
Wasn't there a company that would do that? Would come to your house and give you rich guy juice and like give you like vitamins and
IV
stuff?
IV docs.
Yeah, that's right.
Who did McCool Sculpting, which will hopefully make people a little less prone to constantly make fun of my looks. But yeah, but just that every time I hear that someone's being treated for the flu, it's like, screw you.
Yeah.
Like, why do you
gotta sit here
so
and
much?
Hack, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what makes you so much more important?
Like, well, what if I got playing in the Super Bowl? That's what.
Well, that's more important than building a building? That's more important than, you know, managing a crew?
Walked right into his trap, didn't you?
Are you doing both those things?
No, I'm not talking about myself necessarily. I'm talking about Ma and Pa America. Of course I could get that procedure done if I wanted to.
That's right. Well, all I know is that he's expected to be all right because of the super docs giving him rich guy juice, as Fred calls it, which meant that men like David Andrews and Daron Harmon got a podium, which also meant that men like David Andrews and Daron Harmon were very lonely for the last 30 minutes of their hour-long commitment. But one thing that was unusual as well was the fact that a crowd full of people who obviously don't live in New England went absolutely crazy every time Tom Brady spoke. And every time Nick Foles spoke, he was booed out of the building, as evidenced by the awkward back and forth between the two on the NFL Network last night. Let's play this clip.
When you were 13 years old, this man had just won his... Sorry about that. Had just won his first Super Bowl in Super Bowl 36. You were a huge football fan growing up. What do you remember about it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, huge football fan growing up, guy to look up to growing up, but it's exciting that we get to compete on the biggest stage there is, so I can't wait.
We are in St. Paul, Minnesota, so don't worry about that sort of stuff. So, Tom, what do you want to tell Nick Foles as he is starting his first Super Bowl week here?
He knows what to do. He's a professional quarterback. He's a great player, and, you know, he's obviously, the team has a ton of confidence in him. He's had a great playoffs. He's a been a great player since he came in the league. He went to Michigan State, which I know he'll do a great job.
That was Foles didn't go to Michigan State.
Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Haka dance.
That's right. That's yeah. Right. That's right. From the Gruden thing. I didn't think so. That it was strange.
Maybe he's talking about, maybe he confused him with Hoyer.
But Hoyer's on his team.
He's on his team.
I know, but I'm trying to figure out why would he say that?
I don't know.
He's obviously not done his preparation. Look for the Patriots to not be on it offensively.
That whole thing was weird. Once again, it was another thing that the NFL set up. It was between the two teams at the podiums. Like, after the Patriots were done, a couple of the, it was like the captains stuck around, and then they brought on stage the captains for the Eagles, and they sat them all down, and it was a really weird back and forth and exchange, and then there were like kids from some local like youth group who were up there too, which they made them stand around for like 15, 20 minutes, and then when the players left the stage, they awkwardly made them come back on stage to take pictures with the children. It was just very odd. I don't know why they meddled with kind of the way this has been going. I liked it better when it was during the day. A ton of people took off after the Patriots, by the way.
Of course.
Like, it was a half house after the Patriots were finished. They should have put, if they knew what they were doing, they should have put the Eagles first, because everyone was there for Brady.
But
everyone.
It's up to the discretion of the Patriots, right? Because they're the home team, and they chose to wear the white jerseys.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know if you get to choose whether or not you go first last night.
I would assume that if you get to choose, and this is way off, it's just an assumption, but if you got to choose what jersey you're wearing in the Super Bowl, that you're also allowed to pick when you're going to do...
What time? Well,
when you're going to do media
well,
day.
Wisely, they knocked it out first, and then half the people took off and went home. But Lane Johnson over the Eagles has been talking a little bit about Tom Brady, calling him a pretty boy. He was asked yesterday about those comments and why he indeed thinks that about Mr. TB12. Play the clip.
You called Tom Brady a pretty boy. Is that more of a statement about just quarterbacks in general or about Brady specifically?
I wouldn't talk about anybody else but Brady. I respected the man. I said he's a great quarterback, the greatest of all time. Having said that, I think the statement speaks for itself.
By the way, I'm finding out that, it's according to a listener, Foles apparently went to Michigan State first and then transferred.
Did not know that.
To Arizona?
Oh, I'm sure that was right on top of Tom Brady's head.
I mean, listen, I have no idea, but that's what we were hearing. He was at Michigan State there for a while, and then he transferred and ended up a little bit afterwards.
Okay, he didn't play football at Michigan State. He might have worn a uniform at one point.
He was 5 for 8, Fred, sorry to interrupt, but he was 5 for 8 in one game.
Okay, so
2007.
Oh, well,
there you go.
And he went to Arizona 2009, 10, and 11.
Okay, how'd that get past me?
All right, well, after the break, we will get an update on Charlie McAvoy. He spoke to the media for the first time yesterday. Also, a trade that made heads explode in the NBA that could possibly maybe affect the Celtics.
Yeah, well, this is a trade that I am the only one who likes. And,
it could mean big things for next year, put it that way.
Yes.
It could mean big things for next year, changing the landscape of the East.
Right. It could. All right. When we come back, we got your chance at Bruins tickets.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are at Toucher and Rich. That's right. They named the mall after us. We're at the Mall of America. This hour of the Toucher and Rich show is brought to you by ACP Facility Services. Car number 10 right now, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on the Blues this Thursday night at the Garden. And at 7 o'clock, I can tell you this, Treachery, Benedict Arnold, going on at the Patriots rally yesterday.
You think you know someone. You think you can trust someone. They get you right the back.
It was a little odd thing to say.
Ah, of course it was.
In front of a bunch of listeners.
It was the words of a jackass.
You should have seen how proud Zolak was of himself yesterday. Oh, my God. Hardy wanted to kill him. Like, you should have said, I'll get to it at 7.
Okay.
But he was in his suit, and he had just come off the team plane, and Hardy's just... Because Hardy and him, very close, obviously. And Hardy's just pacing back and forth going, he is being the biggest jackass. He's so proud of himself. And then, like, he's all a big, penis swinger. And he comes over and he's got Gostowski. You're like, there you go, Mr. Cosell.
We know him, too. Yep. Well, now that the All-Star break is over for the NHL, it's time for the Bruins to get back to business, which means checking on the health of all their moving parts. And one guy that has been a concern was Charlie McAvoy after it was announced he underwent that surgery for an irregular heartbeat last week. By the way, people are, like, writing this off as being, like, some simple surgery and everything. But anytime you mess with someone's heart, it really freaks me out. I know
it does to you, but it's really not a big deal.
You
hear the prognosis of 2 weeks immediately, and then everyone backs off. That was the first thing that was mentioned in the story. If you just said, I don't want a minor heart procedure, and then there was no recovery time added, then people would have freaked out.
It's like basically non-invasive.
Sure.
And it's something that he didn't have to get done. Now, I don't blame him. I would have done the same thing. And they kind of cherry-picked when he was going to have it. I mean, he did it before the All-Star
break. I know rationally there's nothing to worry about, but I just think about if someone told me there was anything irregular with my heart and they had to adjust something. Like, I think they take, like, a little piece of, like, your heart out. It's like a little bit, like, a piece of tissue they remove it, I think, is what the surgery entails. That scares the crap out of me. Anytime you got to do anything with your heart, it freaks me out.
Well, but maybe you could stop breaking mine.
Don't you go breaking my heart. But here is Charlie McAvoy. He talked to the media for the first time about his procedure yesterday. Clip.
I think it was relief, first off, to find out that it was not life-threatening and not dangerous to my overall health. That was my best takeaway from that, to realize that, obviously, because I'm in there, I'm kind of nervous that this is going to be something that's really bad, you know, that I might not be able to play again or anything like that. So to find out that it was something that was not dangerous, not life-threatening, something that I could still continue to play with, was a good takeaway right away from the overall situation.
Look at the amount of ice time that he's gotten this season, just compared to, I mean, even just guys his age, but just in general, It is unbelievable how long they have kept him on the ice.
He would have been an all-star had he not gone through this.
After Hedman got injured, he would. And Billy Jaffe told us that, too. And Charlie McAvoy is one of three guys that is up for Rookie of the Year this year. He's the best rookie defenseman in the league by far. Mm-hmm. And the only other two guys that could beat him out were the guy who was the MVP of the All-Star game, Besser of Vancouver, who's on pace for 40 goals, and a guy, Barzal, from the Islanders, who's had a really good season. It's one of those three guys. It depends on who finishes the best.
All right, well, let me tell you this. You can meet Charlie McAvoy and the rest of the Boston Bruins, who, by the way, are the best team in hockey, at the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation and the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. That's Thursday, February 15th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, us, Scott Zolak, and Mark Bertrand as well. VIP tickets are $200. That gives you access to autograph sessions with the team, FaceTime with the team. If you have children, and you want to do something for charity and you want to give them a time they'll never forget, that is great. General admission tickets, $50. You'll be up close with the players there, too. And it should be a good event. It's something all the players want to do, unlike shaving their heads. For all the information and to go buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com/pucks.
How are the bids looking for us? That's the thing. I think everyone has a bid now.
Okay, Backus is going for $1,500.
Yeah, Backus is up there.
That's new. That just raised from yesterday.
I haven't looked at this in a while.
Everyone has a bid as far as the Bruins.
I'm $350. You're $400. You tied with Zolak, and then Bertrand and Wallach at $300.
Look at that. And if you don't want to have to jockey back and forth trying to beat people out for the bids, you can get into the VIP part. Now, it doesn't involve the ping pong, but you get the FaceTime with the Bruins players, and that's just $200. So if you want to guarantee it, just go ahead and do it that way. There are still some tickets left for that. And finally, the Clippers and Pistons have agreed on a deal to trade Blake Griffin for Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, and Boban Marjanovic, and a first-round and second-round draft pick. Now, the best thing about all of this is that during the free agency courting of Mr. Blake Griffin, when he went all around, apparently the Clippers brought him into the Staples Center, turned down all the lights, and played this movie in the darkness that said, "Ladies and gentlemen, now honoring a lifelong Clipper." And it showed a mock number retirement for the Clippers. And how about that? Just months later, after giving him, what, $170 million, they say, boom, you are out of here. And they ship him to a place that he wouldn't have even had an interview with during the free agency. So he is now in Detroit. What that means is, according to sources, is that the Clippers are trying to do whatever they can to clear out room and try to make a team ready-made for LeBron James.
Yeah.
When he decides to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers, which he probably will at the end of the season.
Yeah, they freed up a bunch of money, and they're looking to free up more.
Yep, and I know that LeBron apparently likes Avery Bradley. I think that they're saying, are you just going to keep him as a bargaining chip or whatever? I guess that they are, pretty hot on him. And, of course, Doc Rivers, if he remains the coach of the Clippers, which is more than likely probably not going to happen. They do have a little bit of a relationship. Apparently, like the Wolves or the Timberwolves want him, which is ridiculous.
They have Tibbs.
The Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, who just got rid of Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Why would you want Doc Rivers right now? If you have the best, one of the best players in the league in Giannis Antetokounmpo, why would you throw that away with a guy who has done nothing but fail with good talent ever since he left the Celtics?
Well, I mean, there has to be a relationship there that we're unaware of. Otherwise, they wouldn't chase him. I mean, whoever is the next head coach of Milwaukee has to have a good relationship with their best player.
And a bunch of people are giving Detroit crap because now they're so loaded with the Drummond and the what's-his-face's contract.
Why do you like this trade for them?
Because and they're like, this puts them in mediocrity, like the worst place to be. They were mediocre anyway. The pick's nothing that they gave up. They weren't going to keep Avery Bradley.
But they're locked in for $100-something million with Blake Griffin for four more years.
They have a new arena that no one's going to. This at least makes them a playoff team. I mean, it's a seventh seed, certainly.
But they're investing in a broken player. Like, Blake Griffin's
That's the risk. But it's not. Listen, if he stays healthy, at all healthy, I mean, you have to at some point sell tickets, and you bring in a superstar, and then maybe people start paying attention to the team. I mean, they've locked up a lot of money, but what else were they going to do? They were going to get rid of Bradley anyway, but to acquire what pick? All these writers are like, oh, they could have gotten all these. What pick? Who's Avery Bradley? Like, Your pick is useless if it's not, like, in the top seven.
Yeah, yeah. If Cleveland really was going to try to go all in for winning a championship this year, they would have taken that Brooklyn pick and tried to do something to get Avery Bradley. They need defense more than anything, and there isn't a team that could have used him more than they could. And you just saw yesterday, because you let Detroit come in and sweep it out, that Cleveland is not... They do not want to invest in a team that they know is going to be blown up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I mean, it's all the cards are on the table now. You know what's happening in Cleveland. LeBron's gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's nothing we didn't already know.